Good afternoon. This is Sarar Tahisha Morgan here with Counselor Eli Fernandez. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So before we begin with our guest, we wanted to talk about American Education Week. As you may know, American Education Week is all about celebrating public education. We're trying to inform the community of the accomplishments and needs of public schools. We also want to secure that there is a partnership and cooperation to support public education and to honor the individuals who are making the difference in ensuring that every child receives a quality education. Our theme this year is to have safe, just, and equitable schools. So we are talking with those that are involved in schools, whether it is a student, a deputy, or a counselor, to get their take on how they help to keep schools safe, just, and equitable. So let's start with introduction. Mr. Fernandez, can you please do a brief introduction of who you are and your role?
Yes, hi. My name is Eli Fernandez, and I'm currently the school counselor here at McMullen Elementary. This is my third year as a school counselor and also third year at McMullen Elementary. Prior to that, I have been a teacher for 11 years.
So you've been in education for a while.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so our first question is about safety. How, or in your role, I would say, how do you help to keep students safe as a counselor?
So in regards to safety, I think education goes a long ways. I think presence goes a long ways, and I think relationship building goes a long ways. So I work a little bit off of each other. I remember before I became a counselor, one of my biggest pet peeves towards other counselors was that didn't really see them out there, didn't really see them, didn't know them, didn't really talk to them, conversate with them. So I remember telling myself that whenever I would become a counselor, that I would make sure that my presence was felt, that I was out there, that I was walking the halls, that I was, getting to know these kids. And anybody who's worth their salt in our field, in the educational field, knows that relationship building is where the magic's at. So starting off with relationship building, that connection, from there, you get to know the kids. They're more than willing to begin to talk to you, and they're more receptive to what you then have to say, whatever it is that you have to teach them. So I personally made it a mission of mine to make myself present out there in the hallways, present in the classrooms, build that relationship so that when I do their lessons, when they come in as a classroom and I do their whole group lessons, they're more receptive to what I'm given. And then the educational piece, I mean, we just follow up with the education. One thing that if we're going to talk about safety, we're going to talk about bullying, the focus is on reteach. Now, when I say reteach, I don't mean so much like content reteaching. I mean like reteaching these kids. They come in with a lot of preconceived notions. Number one, our biggest battle is the word snitch. I've taken it upon myself to rephrase that. We're not snitching, we're helping. So whenever you see something, you want to help a person. We're not getting people in trouble, we're helping people. So I have built a relationship. They're receptive to what I'm saying, and now I'm educating or I am reteaching them. And they begin to act upon those ideas that are then taught to them.
And I think that's very, I think that helps to make you very aware of listening into what the students are saying and how they're acting, which is very good because a lot of times what I notice being in the role, in education as a principal is that sometimes it is something as simple as vocabulary and helping them to understand what bullying is, what it is not, and the difference between reporting and, like you said, maybe just telling. There's a difference. Reporting is ensuring that people feel safe, whether they're protecting their physical safety, their emotional safety. All those things still count. Just because you can't see what's going on with someone internally does not mean that their feelings may not be hurt. And if you hear something, it's good to report what you hear. So I'm glad that you're getting that message out to the students and to the families because it's very important. And a lot of misconceptions also come from, is it a one-time occurrence or is it something that's happening multiple times over time?
Yes, that there, piggybacking off of that, that's a big thing. Bullying. It's a hot topic. It's a word that everybody likes to, to seem to use. So when it comes to bullying, I do like part of the education is a one time or a two time or even a three time occurrence versus consistency. Keyword being consistent. Are they consistent? Has it gotten to the point where every day you don't look, you're starting to begin to not looking forward to coming to school because you know it's going to happen? That's bullying. If someone does something to you and you ask them to stop and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, and they stop, that's not bullying. Let's say they do it a second time. You're like, hey, I told you to stop, and they stop. That's not bullying. The difference or the keyword is consistency. Are they doing it on a consistent basis? If so, that is bullying. And not to forget about our parents as well. Many a time, I've been in situations where parents have verbalized my child is being bullied. I then have to go in and ask a few questions. When did it begin? Has it been consistent? Has it been ongoing? Many a times, I've gotten the response such as, "Oh, it happened yesterday," or "It happened, 2 days ago." Okay. Is this when you first heard of it? Or no, that's the only time it's happened. Okay, well, in that case, we'll definitely look into it. And thank you for telling us. But just to let you know, that's not really bullying. Bullying would be consistent. And once you clarify that, I mean, people are receptive to that.
I agree wholeheartedly. And listening to you speak, because you're so persistent with making your presence known and building relationships with students, how do you make sure that anytime you are helping to handle maybe an investigation when it does come to bullying or any maybe threat, how do you make sure that when you're looking at these assessments or helping to figure out and determine what is going on, how do you make sure your practices are equitable?
Okay, so if we're talking about investigations, I follow protocol. Protocol states that you conduct a threat assessment. So a threat assessment is sort of an interview process that involves different people. So you're not just really listening to one side of the story. Of course, you're listening to to the victim. You're listening to the alleged person who may have aggressed, but then you're also asking other people, you're asking the teachers, you're asking the SRO, you're asking other people who may know about the child so as to help create a more detailed picture about what may have happened. So equity comes into play in regards to being fair in the way we do these things, making sure that we involve whoever needs to be involved. So as, like I said, to create a clear picture and not be biased or not be, the worst thing you could do is assume. You don't want to assume anything. You want to just approach it in a very unbiased manner. And that protocol, that threat assessment allows us to do so.
And so, for those that may be listening, they may not have ever heard a threat assessment. So, I'll help to give more of an explanation. So, currently in the state of Texas, part of being in public education, we have to have a safety committee in which we get training from the state. And so if there are any threats against students or students threatening to harm themselves, we must follow a particular protocol in filling out paperwork. And we usually get our counselor involved because they're coming on the side of understanding and trying to get a full picture before the administrators get involved. And usually, once the counselor gets involved and helps to get a better understanding, that information is then shared with the administrators before we proceed if there happens to be a disciplinary action that needs to take place. I think a lot of times when people hear the word threat, they immediately think of danger. But sometimes students are saying comments and things that may be something that they're internalizing against themselves versus other students. So we just want to make sure that it comes from a place of care. So we usually start with a counselor because the counselor is non-threatening. They're not that person who is disciplining the child. Once the child speaks with the counselor, they feel a lot more comfortable to say exactly what is going on. And just like Mr. Fernandez stated, he's going to get the full picture by going out and asking teachers, asking other students, before handing that information over to the administrators, who may then take that information but also look at things such as cameras and anything else that may help to determine how they will proceed. Okay, so before we get off of our podcast, we have one last question. So when you're in the practice of working with students, I know safety is a priority, and I know being equitable is also a priority of yours. How do you ensure that your procedures are justified? So if parents do call and have questions, they know that you are being equitable, they know that you are fair in your practices. How do you go about doing that?
Okay, so our program is ran in a very there's protocols to everything. We in the counseling world, we call it a complete counseling program. So you're looking at four components. You're looking at guidance curriculum, which is basically me doing lessons, whether it's whole group or small group or one-on-one. You then have responsive services. Responsive services is any time that someone is, maybe having a meltdown or there's a situation, we respond to that. System support. System support is anything that we're doing most of the time behind the scenes and indirect, indirectly supporting the student, whether it's through the community, the parents, the staff, whatever the case may be. And lastly, we have individual planning. So what we do is we make sure that we follow to the best of our ability this what they say they call a complete counseling program. So you're following all four components. So if there was any at any time any question in regards to our practices or our following guidelines, as long as we follow these guidelines, as long as we stay to the program, that there assures us that we're doing, our job to the best of our ability. But with that being said, though, I can't close that off without saying, and this, I mean, this is just honest truth, the most successful programs have the backing of their administrators. Unfortunately, there are situations where maybe that may not be the case, but the best programs are backed by administrators. And what I mean by that is the administrator and the counselor work hand in hand. There's an understanding, there's planning. The administrator understands where the program is going. The counselor understands what the administrator, what he or she, what their expectations are. So whenever you have the support of administration, the counseling program is going to prosper.
Yes, I agree. It's about partnerships. Education, it can't be run just by one person. It has to be everyone involved, from students to families to administrators to our counselor to our deputy, to even the custodians. I mean, at the end of the day, if we're all in communication with one another and we have systems in place and we have protocols, it just will make that much more of an impact. So I completely agree with you that it has to start at the top, but really everyone has to be involved because we can have a great system and protocol here on campus, but if we don't get the families involved and help them to understand our processes, it's not going to be effective. So I feel like everyone should be a part of what we do here at school and especially in publication. So I'm very well versed when it comes to having an open door policy. I mean, obviously we have to ensure that we can't have every parent in here at one time. It'd be hard to talk to everyone.
Right.
However, having that understanding and that feeling of someone is approachable, you know, that just because they're in this position, they're not able to talk with us or explain their side of things. I think having that willingness to listen and that heart to hear and be consistent in your approach is why a lot of our families feel comfortable with students attending, you know, school each and every day. So I thank you so much for your time. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, likewise.